All right, let's get in the Word, shall we? About time, right? Would you turn to Mark chapter 4? Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. Anybody been experiencing a deeper relationship with the Lord these last couple of months? Good. Good. Hallelujah. Because it really, we needed to redeem the time. That was a really important time, to redeem the time with Him. I want to talk about a road trip here. Are we there yet? Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, we give this time and the Word to you because this is your Word. This is the truth. And this is reality. Lord, your Word goes forth with power every time. And I thank you, Lord, for your power being released today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, when I was praying about the message today, you think, well, you've had nearly 3 months to prepare a message. Holy smoke. I mean, does it really take that long? And we're used to going like one or two or three a week. And this day today, when I was praying about it, all the life changes and all the events and all the world and all around us in our country and in our state and in our government and in our friendships and in our families, everything that's gone on because of a virus that has changed the world, changed our country. It has changed our lives. Now, no matter how you feel about this, whether you think this is a conspiracy or you think that this is anti-president, get him out of office, or whether you think this is the government really is protecting us from ourselves, or you think that wow, there's so much. No matter what you think, we have got to remember that we are not fleshly people anymore. If you're born again and Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, then you have a new identity in Him. We are at that point, remember, we are in Him and we live through Him and He is in us. And we are not carnal or fleshly people. Yeah, we wear this body. But we are not fleshly people. We are spiritual people from that moment on. Now we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the power of God has been given to us in tandem with our new identity. We have to be cognizant of the fact that we are not fleshly people anymore. That has to be real to us. And during this time, when we look at these events and we hear what's going on in Washington, how many of you believe the news? Don't answer this, please. Don't raise your hands. People around us do. Of the 5 corporations that run all the news media, that is all the same and focuses the same to get us to think the same, people believe the news and take it as the truth. We cannot do that because we are not fleshly people and we are spiritual beings. And our news is this news. But we get out of focus. It is the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word that supersedes everything else. If you've been getting sidetracked, if you've gone off and kind of got drawn in, and believe me, it's not hard to, if you focus on it. It's important to know a little bit of what is going on, but it is not important and not good to know the whole thing of everybody's opinion and everybody's accusation and everybody's this and everybody's that, because we are being led as a nation in a direction that is anti what we stand for.
Yes.
We have to focus on the Word because we are spiritual people, not fleshly. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm making this point today in this opening service of what kind of message do we teach today? And that is the absolute need, requirement for our life, our health, our eternity, our prosperity, our righteousness, our joy, our peace. The love that we receive and can give in the midst of this, we've got to be anchored in the Word. Now, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus, the Son of Man, I'm going to condense this. But the context of Mark chapter 4, start to finish, regardless of the topics you see in there, all relates to, contextually, the importance, the high degree of importance we give the Word or not. We can be born again and love Jesus Christ and not give the Word the importance that God has meant it to have in our lives and not see what He has for us. Period. We can give the Word as much or as little validity in our lives as we determine. And that proves out the effect of the Word in our lives, either a little bit or fully. That's the parable of the sower and the seed. Jesus goes on to speak about the kingdom of heaven being a mustard seed and it growing up. He goes on to say about the growing seed in the field and it producing first the blade and then the ear and then the full grain and then the harvest. He goes on to say descriptively about, and I'm kind of jumping around, with the sower. And again, the validity. This all has to do with the validity that we give the Word of God in our own personal lives. It's the bottom line. And the fruit that it's going to produce. In this time, in these last 3 months, we have had an opportunity to validate the Word of God or not. That's the truth. I want to read to you, starting in verse 35, chapter 4, verse 35, because Jesus has spoken about the context of the Word in every area of our lives, and that, again, the validity that we give it, what it produces. Here is the living Word with His disciples right now. Verse 35. On the same day, after Jesus had finished all these parables about the Word, when evening had come, He said to His disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, and so that it was already filling. And he was asleep in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Now I guarantee you they didn't say it like that. Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, Peace, be still. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to his disciples, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? How in the world does that apply today? Jesus, in the context, spoke about the Word. Right? Mark chapter 4. The living Word gets into a boat. Boat goes out on the water. He's got all his crew. He's asleep. The seas rise up and the wind's blowing. The tempest is happening. The boat's being pushed around. The water's splashing in. I mean, they're rocking and rolling and they're going to capsize. And they freaked out. And they said, Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? In the Greek, let me tell you what that means. God, you don't care. You don't care about us. That's blunt, isn't it? So he wakes up and he says to the storm, Peace, be still. And he dominates the storm with his authority as the Son of Man and the living Word. Then he said to them, How come you don't have any faith in the Word? Why are you afraid? So, today, he was with them then. He's in us now. He lives in us. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the living God is in us. And we are in Him. And wrap your brain around this. We are in Him. Our lives are hidden in Him, Colossians. And again, we live through Him. He is our identity. Now, not us, it's Him. This is part of being spiritual people. Come on. He says, I want you to do this. You're born again. This is how I want you to live. I want you to hear the Word. I don't want you to be dull of hearing. I want you to hear the Word. In the Greek, it means when you hear the Word, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Literally means when you hear the Word of God, believe it. And then do the Word. Hear it, believe it, and do it. It doesn't mean just hear it. It literally means hear it, believe it, believe it, and do it. So that's what he's saying to his disciples, and that's what he's saying today. Here you are, born again. Hear the Word. Believe the Word. And do it. And in the context of Mark chapter 4, that's when we begin to see the fruit. So here we are, we're born again, and we've begun our life's journey until the last breath. And Jesus is in us. We're on the boat. And the storm comes. Here's Corona, and something that's never happened in our lives before happens. And the government begins to take over our lives. In America, this does not happen. Well, it did. And the oppression is real. And the actions of the government, in many ways, conflict with what we know to be true. It is called oppression. Whether what you believe, good, bad, or indifferent, where are we with the Word of God in this whole thing? Corona comes. Now, the Word has been given to us. What validity do we give the Word of God in this situation? Does God care? No, you don't care! Yes, He does. Not just care, but the ability to do and take care of and be faithful to what He's promised. Because He never, ever, ever, ever fails. Ever. Never fails us. We've seen God supply through this time miraculously. God has taken care of through all kinds of means, all of us. We got a healthy church. We got healthy people, prosperous and well. What validity have most of us given the Word? We're seeing the fruit of what we've given the Word of God to this point. You see, Jesus, in this situation, in this boat that we're in, dominates as much as we will believe Him. You see, once we believe, we're like taking the reins off of the control. The disciples, they had no control in that storm. We've had no control, which is hard in Corona, in the Corona time, right? And we're not quite through this yet, are we? Or are we? What are you seeing? I see us done. I've been seeing us done. What validity do you give the Word? Because that the validity that you give the Word and do it is what produces the fruit that you see and the reality of what you see. A lot of people were afraid, just like the disciples in the boat, accused God of not caring, accused Jesus of not caring. A lot of people, a lot of Christians, I'm talking, not in this church, but a lot of Christians have said, "Where are you, God? Where are you? You don't care. You've let this happen. Or you produced this. Are you kidding?" But that is where they're at. I don't care across the board. The validity that we give the Word of God is what we get to see. And the validity proves out in our lives. So Jesus, in our lives, and the validity that we've given Him has dominated the situation for us. And this, as far as I'm concerned, is over. Jesus said to His disciples, "Why are you afraid? Where's your faith?" Because they hadn't validated the Word that they just heard in their lives and the living Word who told them, "Let's cross the lake." This happens all the time. And we need to be aware of these things in our lives because we subject the Word to our feelings. We subject the Word to the circumstances around us. It is a tendency. We subject the Word to what our paycheck is. We subject the Word to our health and our health issues. We subject the Word to what comes up in our families. And don't think that maybe some of you out there are the only ones. I've been there. I was telling somebody the other day, you know, that don't think pastors just float along on the clouds over you all. We all go through the same stuff. And we have to walk it out too. And we get to learn too. Okay? And you get to benefit from where we miss and where we hit. That was a good spot for an amen. Okay, so the bottom line is, contextually, Mark chapter 4 is all about the validation we give the word in our lives. Do we believe it? Are we going to act on it? When Jesus says something, or when the word says something, Jesus taught out of the Old Testament? You know that, right? Don't ever. Some people that teach grace say, throw the Old Testament out. Don't ever do that. That would be so wrong. God hasn't changed Old Testament to New Testament. We're just not under the law and the penalties and the condemnation of the law. That's all. But the nature and the character and the grace and the mercy of God are all through the Old Testament. Okay? So Jesus taught the word. And the context of the word is, hear the word, believe the word, live the word, and you will see the fruit of it. The more you do, the more you'll see. Corona, this time, I call it Corona time. And I don't mean the beer, okay? Corona time was an exercise in believing God. It was an exercise in believing the word. It was an exercise in allowing him to dominate our circumstances. It was an exercise, a practical practice of saying, I've never been through this before. I have nothing to relate to it. I have no experience with this. I'm shut down, locked in, can't go anyplace. And people all around me are scared to death of something that isn't, I have to be careful here, that is a non-issue. Because of what is being promoted behind the scenes. What do I do, Lord? What does your word say? Because that's what I want to sprout in my heart. So in all of this, the validity that we give the word will bear fruit in our lives. That's just one thing. A lot's happened over these last 2.5 months. But the validity we give the word, the depth of the validity that we give the word, will produce fruit. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus spoke about the 4 different types of soils, the hard soil, the soil that was shallow, and the soil that was choked by weeds, and then the soil that was good ground. And people are at every one of those. The heart is really rejecting. I don't want anything to do with them. I'm not going to receive it. I'm not going to hear it. The soil that has no depth, full of rocks, and the plant grows up, and the plant is the fruit of the seed, grows up, and can I read this to you? I want to give you the Greek aspect of this because it opens it up a little more. Verse 15 in Mark 4. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Satan comes and takes away what they freely disregard. They reject. It is the rejection of the word. The whole purpose of the enemy is to take away the word and the validity of the word. Verse 16, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. And afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. I call these surface dwellers. Because they only go this deep with the validity of the word, because the word doesn't really matter. They only want the word in the good time, or what makes me feel good, or what promises me riches, or what promises me something that I want. And when hard times come, surface dwellers in the word, get offended at the word. That's what it means that they stumble. They get offended at the word. They get ticked off at the word because you, God, don't care. You didn't come through. That's what it means. Next one. Now these are the ones, verse 18, sown among the thorns, and they are the ones who hear the word and the cares of the world. Number one, let's talk about cultural Christianity versus biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity is what we believe. The Bible is the inerrant word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit, valid truth. It is the reality. It is the grace of God to us. It is the knowledge of his heart and his understanding. And it is clear what righteousness is and what righteousness is not. Cultural Christianity says we modify the word according to what the culture is today. And that's what we believe. But we call ourselves Christians. There's a lot I could go on with this. Don't laugh, Tom. Cultural Christians are not Christians. They call themselves Christians. There is a group beginning to take over in our country who call themselves Christians. I won't even go into it right now. Who are absolutely for cultural change according to the world. And these are people who wear the maskings of Christianity, the collars and so, and not all of them wear this, but they are for cultural change according to what the world dictates is godly and righteous and truth. They are lost. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, or the sway of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in. Desires for entering other things entering in is based on a divided heart. It really means I worship those things. I crave those things. I want those things more than I want you, Jesus. It has subjugated Jesus to a position that is very much less than in their lives. And so, the desires for other things entering in choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. All of those three areas have relegated the validity of the word of God to zero in reality. And Jesus speaks about the last. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. This is when we validate the word of God, believe the word, we hear, believe, and do the word. We see the fruit in our lives, and we've seen it all through in this church, this corona time. And in this, God has given us a directive, and this is why I believe the Lord has said very clearly, this church, House on the Rock, is integral at this time, in this area, for my kingdom and my purposes for this area, in reaching the harvest. This is a reality for us and a call for us now. And the Lord was very clear, get them equipped. Get them ready. We're going to do some stuff. So, the title of the message was, Where Are We? Well, this is really different today, you know. Where are we with the word? Where are we on this journey? We're on a road trip. And we've had a major wake-up call to the church. A major wake-up call to our lives. Where are we with the validity that we give the Word of God in our lives now? And let's start from right now. From now on. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.